Right button.
We good? All right. Cool. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the, oh my God, the Tacky Squad podcast. Oh my God. I almost forgot what I was going to say this morning. Sorry. Oh my God. This is tonight. Oh my Lord. Mind all over the place. Super burnt out. That's okay. We're going to keep this one a little short. Not a whole lot to talk about, for being honest. But how about those women? Canada won gold last night.
Out of context.
Completely out of context. How about those women? No, but those of you who didn't have a chance to watch the game last night, I highly suggest going back and watching. It was a very, very good game between the Canadian and the United States women's teams at the Olympics in China right now. Oh, sorry, it was like last night, but the Olympics are currently going on. Congratulations to both the Canadian and the American women on both having absolutely phenomenal tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good game. I didn't have a chance to watch all of it because I'm a student, but I watched up until the third period, so it was very good.
Yeah, I had a really late night, so I was planning on going to sleep around like second period, but like the more I got invested into the game, I'm like, fuck it, I'll just finish it and then I'll go to sleep. So I saw obviously Marie-Philippe Lin, her two goals. Wow, captain clutch, right?
Yeah.
How many? She has three golden goals in the Olympics, which is obviously
she's scored a goal in four gold medal games.
Holy
which I think
shit.
Which is like, I don't think anyone has ever done that before.
Yeah.
Which is unreal.
Yeah. So she obviously came clutch. I remember her first Olympics was like 2010, and that was when she was 18 years old. So we literally saw someone grow up in front of our eyes. Now she's 30 years old, and she's still coming clutch in the Olympic Games.
Yep. So yeah, that's crazy.
And she's probably going to go to another Olympic Games when she's 34. Probably.
Anyways, it's kind of too bad because, again, I saw a post today. It was very relevant, which is like, if you're happy and if you thought that was a really good Olympic tournament for the women, which you should, because it was a really good Olympic tournament for the women's, where do you go now if you want to watch these players after the Olympics? So anyways, again, that's a discussion for another time, because again, it's a very it's an important topic, I think, not just in hockey but in terms of all the sports. But bottom line is, again, good congrats on to the women's and the men's. So the women's team and the men's team, the men's team is also eliminated. They lost to Sweden, so both the Canadians hockey team, both the Canadian teams are done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
There is some action going down tonight, which we don't really care about. But
on the topic of women's hockey, next time we talk about this, I'll come a little more prepared with some links and pointers for anyone interested in watching these players. Because I think I too am just gonna I wonder if sports betting covers women's hockey as well.
I would think so.
Mm-hmm. I think from that perspective itself, because I'm a growing sports betting fanatic, and I like to bet on as many things as possible, and women's hockey is another one. But outside of sports betting,
called addiction, but that's okay.
Yes, it's a gambling addiction. You got me. But no, I'm just trying to say as well, like outside the realm of sports betting, I think we should give our women a bigger chance, a bigger stage than we do, like once every 4 years, and then we like just forget about them for another 4 years.
Like, it's kind of sad because like Marie-Philippe Lin is gonna get her flowers, and rightfully so, for this tournament. But like, it's kind of sad that like probably after the closing ceremonies, like we're not gonna hear anything about her or the women's team for like probably until the next Olympics or the next major like women's tournament, which probably won't be towards the end of the year, which kind of sucks. But
I know,
again, hopefully the NHL and the PWHA, I think it is now, can work together to kind of help expand women's sports and women's hockey, because again, I think like at very least the American and Canadian women's teams in the Olympics showed that like there are a lot of very talented women that probably deserve to have more of a platform than what they currently have, and probably something a bit closer to some of the bigger NHL stars. But again, as I mentioned before, that's a discussion for another day. But
the Canadian women's team now, women's hockey has been around in the Olympics. We talked about this a few episodes ago, since 1998. Since 1998, I tweeted about this as well. Canadian women's hockey team has won 5 gold medals out of the 7 Olympics. They've won 5 gold medals and 2 silvers.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous.
And also, on the other hand, it's always been, aside from 1 year, Canada and the U.S. Every time the gold medal game. It was Canada and Sweden once. But other than that, always Canada and the U.S. So we'll see what happens going forward. I hope the Canadian flag continues to be won. I mean, like brandished at every single game as one.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
But yeah, go Canada.
Anyways, moving on. I'm going to quickly just bring this up because this is not a topic. It's going to take very long. But tonight, the Pittsburgh Penguins play the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, yeah.
And during the first intermission tonight, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be unveiling their Heritage Classic sweaters. And they gave a little teaser on their Twitter page. If you don't have it, if you haven't seen it, it's on their Twitter page, it's on their Instagram page, anywhere you go. And they gave a little hint saying, for all the, or I can't remember exactly what the caption was, but all the T's, like the letter T's in the caption, were capitalized. This very quickly gave everyone the notion that it is going to be some variation of a Toronto Arena's jersey, which I think is interesting. And the reason I say it's interesting.
Don't you mean the aretinas?
Yeah, the aretinas. Yes, okay, sure. And the reason I say it's interesting is because I was thinking about this because I was like, wait, they already had an arena's jersey. And I was thinking, how many possible... So anyways, long story short, after many hours of just kind of sitting around and doing nothing all day, having this kind of sit in my mind for several hours, I checked something out today. And I went to one of my favorite websites called NHLUniforms.com. It's an NHL uniform database where it has all the jerseys ever that like every team's ever worn. And I went back to see. I wonder what the how many arenas uniforms there possibly could be. And the answer is there are 2 that the arenas wore, and one of them the Leafs already wore.
Yeah.
So what are the odds that the other one is the one they're gonna unveil?
No. What do you mean the database? I'm not familiar with the site. Like, what does it do?
Okay, I'm actually going to quickly share my screen right now.
Okay.
So you can see it. And you have disabled screen sharing. That's okay. So,
shit.
Never mind. So if you haven't listened or if you need direction, if you go to NHLUniforms.com,
yeah, I'm going to do it right now.
Okay, we're going to walk through step by step. Step one. NHLUniforms.com.
I will actually share my screen.
Okay, that works.
Okay, give me a sec. 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Ah, there we go. Okay, yes. So if you go to the far right, under the Toronto Maple Leafs, if you go, like up at the top, yes, click that.
Okay, so I have now clicked on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It is loading. I can see the window in your... Anyways, little stall time.
Keep talking. Like, what's the point of this thing?
So basically, the point of this thing is I want to point out is that the Toronto Arenas wore 2 uniforms, one in 1917-18, one in 1918-19. So basically, in consecutive years, in 2 different years, wore 2 different uniforms. One of them, the Leafs have already worn. That was in the NHL 100 or the centennial game for the against the Hurricanes. So the reason I bring this up, the reason I think it's significant, is because I can't see them remaking that jersey again. Maybe they do, but I think there's a very good chance that the other one that I'm looking at. So yeah, if you're listening to, on the pod, I'll try to describe it the best I can. But if you're watching our YouTube channel, you can definitely see it a lot better. The one in 1918-1919. The Toronto Maple Leafs wore in a game the Toronto Maple Leafs wore a variation of this jersey against the Carolina Hurricanes a couple of years ago in the 100th game or like the NHL 100 game, whatever it was. I can't exactly remember what it was, the game against the Hurricanes. There's one other Toronto Arena's jersey, which is from 1917, 1918. very nice looking jersey, very nice tee. It's kind of boring. So again, we'll see what happens with it. But based on the early looks that we've seen and the hints, again, if you see the video, it has a white collar and all the T's are capitalized. I think there's a very, very, very good chance that the 17-18 Toronto Maple Leafs jerseys or the Toronto Arena's jerseys are what we're going to see tonight. So
that's cool. But like, oh man, I kind of wanted them to do something more exciting.
You see, that was my thought too. And it still kind of is my thought. Because my initial thought was, I saw a lot of people drawing up a concept of them doing a reverse colorway of what they did for the 2014 Winter Classic, which I was very, very ecstatic with. Or I could really get behind.
Okay.
So basically, it would have been a white jersey. It would have had the blue Maple Leaf with the Toronto Maple Leafs on it. Like from the, like, and if you haven't seen the 2014 Winter Classic jersey, go and look that up. Because it is a, I didn't like it when I first saw it, when it first came out in 2014. But this is something I really wish I had in my collection, which I currently don't. And I, to this day, I'm still trying to get into my collection. But anyways, point is, I'm very, very interested to see what happens with this. Because again, this is something I think a lot of fans have been waiting for, especially since a lot of fans are going to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think I may have cracked the code.
We'll see what happens. If it turns out you're right, then I think you should tell all of Twitter, 100% first. Yes. First and foremost, tell all of Twitter that you were right.
I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it as soon as you get off the pod, just to call my shot.
Are we? Because by the time I edit this and I upload this episode, I'll know if you were right or wrong. So this could be a Simon was right part two.
Part two. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
But Simon's anyways, just always we'll see. Right.
Always. Here comes the hockey, always. So anyways, that's the other little nugget there. I'm sure.
All we know is that it's going to be a home jersey, because in the preview that the Leafs posted on their social media, it's just a dark blue, right, concept? That's all we know. Yeah,
it's a dark blue with a white collar, but we also know that the Buffalo Sabres are wearing a light jersey. Have you seen the Sabres jerseys?
I have not. They've already unveiled theirs?
They have unveiled the Sabres jerseys. They unveiled them yesterday.
Interesting.
So anyways, I'm sure by the time people listen to this, they will have seen it. But for those of you who don't know, it's a cream jersey. It has the Buffalo Sabres logo on with the buffalo with the swords. It has the buffalo shoulder patch that was on the 2019 Winter Classic when they played the Rangers. And like they have felt numbers. I wasn't a huge fan. I think it's kind of blech, but anyways.
I'm so like low-key pulling up the video right now to watch it.
Yeah.
It makes sense because I don't know how the home and away thing was going to work here, because the game is actually being played in Hamilton. I'm going to that game. Yeah. I'm excited as balls to go to that game, which is, I think, closer to Toronto than it is to Buffalo. So I think that's...
I think it's about even. It's about even.
It's about even. But at the same time, it's in Canada, and Canada is home to Toronto. So I don't know. I guess that's the concept they're using.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
either way, it's kind of like
the Sabres will be the home team. But again, if the Leafs are going to go far back, the road team actually used to wear the dark colors.
True. So
from that perspective, it kind of makes sense.
Oh.
But
I looked at the jerseys right now from Buffalo. I kind of like them.
Hey. I like the colors. I just think there was so much they could have done. It just seems very...
It looks like a normal jersey.
And that's my problem. Because, again, and this is kind of a bigger thing, a bigger discussion to be had, but, like, the NHL has now has so many outdoor games, which I think is great for fans. But, like, conceptually is great for fans. But, like, it really kind of takes away from like the specialness or like the kind of the special feeling of games like the Winter Classic or the Heritage Classic. Now it just feels like, oh, it's one of eight outdoor games. And now like these outdoor jerseys kind of feel more of a cash grab than like, oh my God, this is something special.
Yeah.
But granted, I will still be buying the Leafs. I probably still will be buying the Leafs Heritage Classic jersey regardless. But anyways.
Yeah, I might end up doing the same thing. Like I'm going to the Heritage Classic game. So how could I not wear the new jersey? Am I right?
Yeah.
Like that would be a disgrace.
Exactly. I don't know. Like I'm gonna try very hard to combat this feeling, but we'll see.
Yeah, let me know if you end up buying one. Give me a link as well, and I might do the same thing.
Oh, I will. I definitely will. Anyways, so that's that. Heritage Classic jerseys, check, done.
Can I play? Actually, I want to play one game because I know you want to talk about Jack Eichel as well.
Oh yes,
but yes,
I do. Okay.
Yes. But I want to see if we can actually play this game in this episode. I want to see if we can fit it in. Okay, like TLDR, okay. If we don't get to Jack Eichel, he had a meh performance.
The Knights got shut out. They lost.
I know, but like...
Just like I told you they would, and you didn't listen to me, but that's okay.
He anyways, had a go ahead. Minus one, one shot on goal. He went 8-for-11 on the faceoff dot and went 17 minutes and 32 minutes on ice time.
And he took a penalty.
Two minor penalties.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, Drew. Funny.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's okay. I think when Stone comes back, they're going to be a force to behold. And everyone expects them already to be a force. Mm-hmm. And they're probably, I don't know if they're going to win the division. Calgary's hottest team.
Well, let me throw this at you. What if Leonard doesn't come back or doesn't come back at 100%?
How long has he gone?
He is out, going to be out for a while. I'm not sure how long it is, but he is going to have surgery at some point. Now, how bad is it? I don't know. But if they're going to be playing Laurent Brossoit for the playoffs, I have reservations for the Vegas Golden Knights. But anyways, this is a story for another time. But
hey, he wasn't that bad yesterday.
Come on.
Okay, so I'm going to play this game. And we're going to call it Smash or Pass.
Oh, God. Okay.
And we're going to play Smash or Pass on every single team in the NHL. It's going to be rapid fire. Okay. Like max 1 minute or less on every team.
And we're okay. Hold on. So what's the idea? Like Stanley Cup contenders?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because the trade deadline is approaching, I'm going to ask you, Smash equals, are they going to be buyers to the trade deadline? Or pass equals seller.
We can just play buy or sell. That's okay. No, it's your game. It's your game. It's okay.
It's not as fun.
Okay. Cool.
So we'll think about it like this. Is this team going to smash the trade deadline or are they going to pass on this trade deadline and like sell their players? You know?
True. Okay.
Cool. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it in order of every single team according to their points. I'm going to do points percentage actually in the National Hockey League from first to 32nd. Okay. So number one, you got Colorado. Smash or pass?
Smash. Absolutely smash.
But what could they actually gain?
What can they gain? I would say some depth defense and maybe another goaltender.
Okay, fair enough. Florida, smash or pass?
Smash.
Again, you know what? I feel like I should set it up in a different way because these are all going to be smashes at the beginning.
That's okay.
I'm doing an order.
That's okay. Smash. That's okay.
Okay. Florida, what do you think they need?
Defense. That's the only flaw I think that team has. If they can get one defenseman, if they can get some like a Jacob Chychrun or like another top four or like maybe like borderline like very good top six defenseman, I think Florida's going to be a force because again, outside of Mackenzie Weegar and Aaron Ekblad, I don't think they have a lot there.
Okay, I'm going to jump around from different teams now, okay? I'm going to throw Columbus at you.
Pass. Oh, sorry. I think they're going to sell, so I guess that's pass. Yeah, I think they're stripping everything down.
I'm going to hold on this one. Can I hold? It's my game. I'm going to invent a hold.
Yep. Okay. That's a good call because, again, there are going to be teams that don't really do a whole lot. The reason I say Columbus is going to tear it down or is going to sell off some pieces is because players like Jonas Korpisalo are going to be a free agent and there are not many free agent goalies or many goalies that are available in the league right now. So you have Korpisalo who could potentially go. And if you're going to sell off Korpisalo, I could also see them selling off some of their other pieces to get some more assets. I don't know who they would be, but I think Columbus is going to be in somewhat of a retooling phase.
The reason why I says hold on Columbus is not because I think that's what they're going to actually do on the trade deadline. Because I think I need at least a couple more weeks to properly assess them. Right now, they are 23-23-1. They're 5-5-0 in their last 10. So they are literally the most 500 team you can get in the NHL. Yeah. They were on a mini streak recently. I think they won like four or five games in a row. and they've been semi-hot. I don't know if they're even in earshot now of making the playoffs. I'll wait a week. Yeah,
my thing is, my thing is they're not making the playoffs. Boston, Tampa, Florida, Toronto, New York, Carolina. There's too many good teams in the East, and Columbus had a very defensive system when Tortorella was there. They had some very good players, and they still do. The Patrick Laine is still getting through some stuff. So I mean, I'm basically treating this as a write-off season for him, but they're not making the playoffs, and I think because of that, it's a great opportunity for them to kind of sell off some of their expiring assets to get some draft picks and some other compensation.
Yeah, you know, they're actually 11 points back of the Bruins. Never mind then. I would say
11's pass. A lot, and that's with the Bruins.
I'm gonna say pass. Yeah. Okay, Carolina.
I think they're gonna hold
at the trade deadline. Oh, okay.
Yes, I don't see them adding anything, but I don't see them selling anything because they don't have their first round pick because they gave it away for Yachty for Spray Kokaniemi.
Right.
I'm sure they have some prospects, but outside of signing Tony DeAngelo, the Carolina Hurricanes seem like a very savvy, knowledgeable organization, and I can't see them giving up a whole lot of prospects or draft picks that are not their future firsts. For something that, because like when you look at it, Carolina doesn't need much. They have a great defense core. Their goal, Freddie Anderson is probably going to be, if the season ends today, he's probably a Vezina finalist.
Probably.
And the only thing they could maybe get is some depth scoring, but they have a lot of it. So, like, from that perspective, I just don't see them giving up anything significant or giving up a whole lot to add at the deadline. Now that being said, they're probably going to go out and get some depth scoring maybe, but like, I don't, from that perspective, I think that qualifies as a hold instead of like actually buying.
Right now they're 32-11-4 in the league. They're third best record. I don't know. Carolina is a little tricky because every single year, at least for the last 3 or 4 seasons now, it's been like, wow, Carolina is amazing in the regular season. They're actually going to do it this year. And every year, it seems like they get stumped in the second round.
The thing is, every year it's been goaltending. And they have Freddie Anderson, who's playing very well in the regular season. We've seen this before. I can't see them going out to get a goalie. I genuinely do not think they can justify doing so when Freddie Anderson is having such a great season.
Who's their backup?
The one... I think it's Antti Raanta.
Is he? Do you think he's good? Like, do you think he'll provide?
I think he's good enough. Because the thing is, the one thing that people talked about with Freddie Anderson in Toronto was that like there were particular times where he would get in his own head and like he would be kind of second guessing himself. He went to like some military or marine type of facility to work on like mental warfare and stuff like that. If you go get another goalie, you're gonna fuck with his head. Like it happened he was in tandem in Anaheim. His tenure in Toronto ended with him being in a tandem. And if it goes like this in Carolina, I think it's going to be a disaster.
Okay. So you give him the runway. Interesting. Okay. I'll hold as well on the Carolina Hurricanes. Let's go Minnesota, Minnesota Wild. I'm going to say smash first of all.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm going to tell you first. I said this early on in the season. Right now, the Minnesota Wild, they have about a 2-year window to go all the way fucking in. And that's because of their buyouts that they made over the summer. Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, right?
Yeah.
And those penalties kick in grossly. Like, it's disgusting how much penalty that they're going to have to pay for the buyouts. If you can maybe pull up their cap friendly while I'm talking about this. It's disgusting. I think it's something along the lines of $12 million that they'll have to pay just in buyout penalty to them starting 2 seasons from now. This season is minimal. Next season, I believe, is $5 million. And the season after that is ridiculous.
Yeah. So this year, they're paying a combined almost $5 million for the two.
Oh, that's this
next year. Next year, it's 12.7.
Oh, my God.
The year after that, it's 14.7.
Oh, my God.
The year after that, it's 14.7. And then it goes down to 1.6 the year after, and then 1.6 the year after that.
So here's what they do. They're going to go all the way in right now because over the next 3-4 years, they're going to be so limited in what they can do at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about just unlucky. And I think for that reason, they're going to go all in at this trade deadline. Yeah. And I would not be surprised, because of those buyouts, they end up doing a minor rebuild or a retool that lasts 3 or 4 seasons before they come back stronger with Kirill Kaprizov at the core once again. I think for now, though, this playoffs, they're going to go all the way in.
Yeah, I think that's probably right, just because looking at their cap friendly, they have almost $10 million in cap space, or sorry, in deadline cap space. I don't know what that means, what the difference is. He has five, but they, as of right now, they're currently almost $5.5 million in cap space. And believe it or not, that's actually one of the more, like, that's like kind of like at the higher end of what, like, how much cap space teams have nowadays. A lot of teams nowadays don't have any cap space. The Wild have a bit more. So, again, and you're right, but like, I think they could really address their forward group a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like, other than that, to me, I'm not sold on the Minnesota Wild. I've never have been. I think it's great they're doing well this year. But to me, this seems like a typical, what was typical Minnesota Wild season, where they have a very good regular season. They flame out in the playoffs, because, again, I think Kaprizov's great. I really do. But it drops off significantly after that in terms of offensive talent on that team.
I have a prediction. Once the playoffs begin, I have them going far. And I have a feeling they're going to go big at the trade deadline. And that's the reason. That's okay. Going to be my justification.
Okay. Well, who do you think they're going to add? Give me a name. Who do you realistically think, or do you have not know? Okay.
No idea. I've not researched that enough yet. We're still.
Because I guess it's my thing. Because the big piece that everyone was after was Jack Eichel. Jack Eichel's not off the table. He's playing. He's now back playing hockey. Unless someone like Dallas or someone like Nashville, Nashville's doing well. Like, there's not a lot of teams that I see like tearing it down where there's going to be.
Yeah.
The only name I can really think of, which we can get to in a bit, would be Mr. Claude Giroux.
Oh, not bad. Talk about teams in the center. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Let's go New York Rangers.
Rangers, smash.
I'm going to say hold.
Interesting. Okay.
First of all, they're a fantastic team, but I think because of their youth right now, I don't think the team is going to want to make, it's going to be similar to how the Toronto Maple Leafs were traded in the first couple of years when they started making the playoffs. Remember 2017 and 18? Mm-hmm. They added like borderline pieces to their roster. They added a Brian Boyle. They added a Thomas Plekanec. They only really started going all in the last couple seasons when they added Nick Foligno and they gave like a bucket load of picks and shit for him. I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think they're going to make minor additions, nothing too big, because it seems like the motto of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, so I hear that, but hear me out. I think the situation with the Rangers is significantly different, and here's why. At the beginning of that Toronto Maple Leafs window, they didn't have a lot of people making a lot of money, and that team was very young. You are right. But the New York Rangers, after the season, are paying a lot of players a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Artemi Panarin is still making 11.642. He's basically making $11.5 million. Next year, Mika Zibanejad's $8.5 million contract extension kicks in. And then Ryan Strom's a free agent. Julian Gauthier is a free agent. Yeah, that's not huge. Kevin Rooney, Greg McKay. So, like, they have their pieces locked up. That is true. But in terms of the window of this team, and next year, Adam Fox's $9.5 million extension kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team where they're going to have a lot of money, like the Leafs, allocated to like 3 or 4 players. Now, granted, it's not as much as the Leafs, which is significant, but this seems this current rendition of the Rangers team is very good. Gerard Gallant is a fantastic coach.
Yep.
The New York Rangers also, like, they don't have any, let's see. They currently have $17 million in cap space. This is the year they go for it, in my opinion.
Yep.
For the same reason you talked about the Minnesota Wild. After this year, sorry, not yet. Yeah, same way I talked about the Minnesota Wild, because after this year, their cap space is going to dry up significantly. So that's my main thing about the New York Rangers.
I just think teams like to pick and choose the years that they're going to be really, really competitive, which reminds me of what Ken Holland said about the Edmonton Oilers, who we'll actually talk about next. Edmonton.
Yep.
Do you think this is the year that they decide to go smash?
Yeah. So just one thing about the New York Rangers.
Fine.
I think you're right, but I think because of everything I mentioned, this is going to be a year that the Rangers are in on it, especially because they have a they have their first, 2 seconds, two fourths, a fifth, and a sixth. So they have the picks to do it. The Edmonton Oilers, they are going to stand pat. That is genuinely what I think. And again, I've said this before, and I'm going to keep it short. The reason is because I just do not think there's many pieces they can move without them completely tearing it down, which I think if they're going to do that, that's an off-season thing. It's not a regular season thing.
Ooh, Edmonton's tough, man. Like, it's everyone's so fed up of everything there right now. But, like, man, adding Kane was not enough. I said it before. It was not enough.
Yep.
However, they are sitting third in the Pacific Division now. They're still going to battle with LA for that final for the final spot in the Pacific Division, and Anaheim as well. I don't know. I'm going to say smash just because I feel like Ken Holland's going to try to go. I don't know what they're going to do, but Ken Holland's going to try as hard as he can because last year he got a lot of criticism for not doing anything at the trade deadline. And he said, we pick and choose our years where we're going to be competitive. And last year, he did not think the team was ready for him to go aggressive at the trade deadline. I have a feeling he's going to go complete 180 this season.
I hear where you're coming from, but just to begin, just to play devil's advocate here, the narrative about this season is completely different about last season. The narrative around the Edmonton Oilers last season was so positive, was so overwhelmingly positive. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl are having such great seasons, yada, yada, yada. And they're both having great seasons again this year. But the overall team success has been an absolute shit show. It's been so negative. They're talking about, this is the first time in a while. There's been actually significant media talk about, will Connor McDavid want to leave Edmonton? And again, I just don't know what they do. They don't have a lot of cap space. They don't have a third. They don't have their fourth. They might one of those picks or both of those picks are involved in Duncan Keith trade. If they make the playoffs, and I think my main point is here, if whatever they're going to get has to be significant, they're probably going to lose their first round pick, especially if it's going to be for a goalie. And even if they get a goalie, I don't know if that's going to be enough.
Okay. Let's try to keep these a little shorter. Edmonton, one final thing on Edmonton, in my opinion, a smash for them would be getting a goalie who is not named Mike Smith or Mikko Koskinen.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair. I'll give you that, but okay. Yeah.
Okay. Montreal all the way past, man.
Sell the farm. Yep.
Please sell everyone. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
San Jose.
I think they stand pat. I don't think they really move a lot of players.
Honestly, I don't know how you can be too confident. They're 22-21-4. They are currently 7 points back of a wild card spot. In the last 10 games, they have gone 2-5-3. Ooh, that's bad.
My only thing I will say is if they cannot get an extension done on Tomáš Hertl, who's a free agent at the end of the season, he's 28 years old, who plays center. I could see him being moved, and maybe that changes their mindset. Maybe they start moving. So maybe they start thinking about doing a retool or a rebuild. But they have Logan Couture under contract for 6 more seasons. Timo Meier's an RFA for 2 more. Brenton Burns is still there, obviously. I think they hold pat depending on what they do with.
They have an albatross contract with Erik Karlsson, who was actually the reason they were doing really well at the beginning of the season. But then ever since he went on IR, they've kind of.
Apparently, he's going to be back at the end of March, which is extremely encouraging.
Interesting.
They're also paying. Okay, they're also paying Martin Jones a lot of money and buyout money.
I'm going to say hold for them. Anyways.
Me too. I agree with them. Yep.
New York Islanders.
I think they're gonna sell.
Me too.
Yep. Oh, they're gonna try to sell. I don't think anyone really bites because I don't think they have a lot of favorable assets at this point in time.
Man, poor team. They had such a horrible start to the season, and they never recovered from it at all. Like when you put a team on the road for that many games to start the season, you cannot expect them to have any success. And the league kind of fucked them over.
I'm going to call my shot now. I think Semyon Varlamov goes to the Oilers.
Oh.
That's my prediction in terms of what goalie the Oilers get. I think he's relatively cost effective. I think they can make it work. If the Islanders already have Ilya Sorokin, who's a young goaltender who's phenomenal. He's such a good goalie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Semyon Varlamov would be a dang near perfect fit for someone that the Oilers would want to get at the deadline.
That's interesting. I like that. And for that reason, I'm also going to say sell. Okay. Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, sell. Our favorite team.
They're going to sell, I think. This team is going nowhere, at least not this year. Yeah. Because, again, like, I think their priority should be to try to get a first-round pick out of something on their roster because they don't have it. It was traded to Columbus in the Seth Jones trade. So they don't have a first. They don't have a third. They don't have a fifth. They're not going to be competitive. I'm saying so.
Yeah, and honestly, given everything that's surrounding the Chicago team this year, I think the best way to make fans interested in the team again would be either you go smash or you go pass. You don't hold at all. And you need fans interested in this team again, because genuinely interest around the Blackhawks is, I wouldn't be shocked if it's like a record low, at least in this last decade. You need the money back. So in order to do that, I'd say they go full pass. They sell as much as they can, and they try to generate more hope. They try to follow like the New York Rangers model. Anyway,
you know, one thing I wonder is, again, we talked about like the Minnesota Wild, for example, being someone who has a lot of cap space. I genuinely wonder, and again, I have no reason to believe this. I haven't read anything. They both have no movement clause, but Jonathan Toews.
No.
Hold on. Hear me out. They're both making $10.5 million. Not moving them in the same pot. That's a combined $21 million per season for next season. Their contracts expire next year.
Oh man.
I could fully see them if this, you said it yourself, this has been a really, really, really tough year for the Chicago Blackhawks. And the best way for them to do it would be to go hard and buy everything, or go super hard and sell everything. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Blackhawks are not going to go hard and buying anything. But if they are someone, and again, they have a lot of good young talent. Alex DeBrincat is only 24. He has 30 goals this season. Dominic Kubalik was a rookie of the year candidate last year. He's 27. Dylan Strome is only 24. He's been having an up and down season the last couple of years. Kirby Dach is a very young player, 21 years old. He's already a very good young center. Patrick Kane, man, I don't know. I'm telling you right now, we talk about how players don't want to play in Chicago right now. If you tell Patrick Kane, hey, Patrick, we have someone like the Boston Bruins. Again, I don't know how much cap space the Boston Bruins have, but let's say use the Minnesota Wild, for example. The Wild are calling. Do you want to go contend in Minnesota, try to get a Stanley Cup? The Wild can do that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's likely, but I'm like, just given everything that's happened in Chicago, I genuinely wonder how much the front office has thought about doing a complete just atomic bomb on the roster. Not on the roster, but in terms of doing a cultural reset. Because, again, as we've talked about before, the Chicago Blackhawks are an absolute mess right now.
Article from NHL.com, and this came out actually yesterday. Marc-Andre Fleury says he believes his agent, Alan Walsh, has had talks with the Blackhawks regarding the trade deadline. He said he hasn't personally talked to Chicago, so I'm sure we will, right? The deadline's still weeks away, still got a lot of time. I think Fleury will be moved. There was discussion about him potentially going back to the Vegas Golden Knights, but Kelly McCrimmon said no, that's not even going to happen. I'd say I'm gonna throw a wild pick in there. If it's not Varlamov who gets moved to the Edmonton Oilers, it's going to be Fleury.
Fleury has a no move. So I could see him not wanting to go to Edmonton.
I think he'd want to go to Edmonton. I think so. I think
modified no trades. Okay, let me tell you my pick, because I think my pick is a little, I think something he would prefer a bit more. I have, like, depending on how things go, I could see him going to the St. Louis Blues.
Ooh, but what about Bennington then?
Fleury is a rental. He has 1 year left in his contract. You can make everything work. I'm sure there's some way that they can make the cash work. The Blues currently have $973,000 in cap space. Maybe you trade Bennington back and retain some salary. I don't really know. But if the Blues, again, the Blues are probably one of those teams where they have a very kind of tight contention window. Yeah. If they want to go for it, I think Marc-Andre Fleury might be a nice fit, because that's a very glaring need on the St. Louis Blues right now.
Okay, in talking about this, I also realized we're not going to cover all teams today. So we'll cover as much as we can until like the next 5 minutes, and then we'll just stop and cover the rest another time.
We'll do some really rapid fire ones. Go. I won't provide any explanation.
Okay, St. Louis. Context. We were just talking about them. St. Louis.
Okay, St. Louis. They're gonna smash. Smash.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes. 100%.
I'm gonna say hold because I just don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to say pass. Sorry, I'm going to say smash. I just said all three. Smash on the St. Louis Blues for the same reason that you said regarding their goaltending. I am not a huge fan of Jordan Binnington. I don't think that they're going to add Fleury, though. I think that's too much. That's too much personality in one crease.
One angel, one fucking... Anyways, okay, yeah. Okay, that's I could totally see why people would think that because, the cap the number for the cap is going to be relatively difficult to work in. But anyways, yes.
Sure. Okay, Calgary.
Calgary, smash. I mean, they've already kind of...
They've already kind of smashed, yeah. I would say they would add more if they need to. Let's go Detroit.
Pass, they're going to sell.
What can they sell, though?
I'm playing with the cap right now. Nick Leddy is making 5.5. That's a retainable contract. Danny DeKeyser at $5 million. That's a retainable contract.
Interesting.
Mark Stahl has 1 year left at $2 million. Troy Stetcher has 1 year left at 1.7. This is going to be the one-stop shop for defensemen, in my opinion. Vlad Domestikov is a free agent. Sam Gagne is a free agent at the end of the year.
Okay. I'm gonna say it's going to be good for them to pass, although I would not be surprised if they hold. But I want them to pass because I want the Detroit Red Wings to do good. It just looks like the East is fully set, though, for playoffs.
I think they're going to pass. I think they're...
I hope they pass.
Yeah, because, again, they have a lot of defensemen, and defensemen are a dime a dozen nowadays. So, I think they're going to sell off a lot of defensemen.
Okay,
so,
let's go Buffalo. Pass, please.
Sell. Yeah,
pass. Please, please, please. They've actually not done a bad job this season. In the grand scheme of things, in Buffalo standards, this is actually one of their best seasons in a long, long time. So please pass and keep it up.
Yeah. And again, we talked about this last episode. Imagine if they had got Jack Eichel back a couple weeks before the trade deadline so he could actually build up his value. But that's okay because all that really matters is the fact that he should have had a... Anyways, I'm not going to keep shitting on the Sabres. Yep. Keep
going. Let's go Vancouver.
Vancouver sell or pass.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Right now, Vancouver is 5 points back of a playoff spot. They have a game in hand on the Anaheim Ducks. Man, I'm going to go smash.
The Vancouver Canucks have already talked about trading JT Miller, and apparently...
Really?
This is something... Yeah, JT Miller has been someone that's been involved in trade discussions ever since the change. And as of late, and this is something I read on Twitter, I can't remember where it's from. However, apparently a Brock Besser trade actually might be more likely than a JT Miller trade. If that happens, I'll be shocked.
What happened?
I'm not saying. Dude, they haven't been good. They had that little bump when they had Bruce Boudreau there, but I don't think they've been that good, man. I'm looking up the standings right now.
They're just 5 points back. They're just 5 points back in that race.
5 points back, 4-3-3, their last 10, -9 goal differential. They're definitely playing better, but man, I just think because they're cap strapped as well. That's the other thing. So,
anything, you are right about that.
When you're that cap strapped, I don't know how much more you can expect this team to do. Yeah. I think they probably try to get some assets back for some of these players, and then you let the players who am I thinking of? I'm looking at the roster right now. He let players like Nils Höglander develop. Vasily Podkolzin is a really good prospect. Hopefully Elias Pettersson can kind of take the rest of the season, the offseason, to kind of get it back together because he's been an absolute train wreck since the beginning of the season. So, again, I'm rooting for them. I actually really like the Canucks, but things aren't looking too good down in Vancouver right now.
Okay, let's stop there. We have 14 teams left. And so
we'll do the other 14 next time.
Monday. We'll do the other 14 Tuesday. On Tuesday. Once we'll have a little more context around the trade deadline, but that is your smash or pass. Did you like that?
I did actually. That was fun. we kind of talked about it, and I do just kind of want to have a quick discussion about it now, but now that I did kind of pre-allude to it, Claude Giroux is a, I think he's a pending UFA for the Philadelphia Flyers.
He's going to get traded.
I think he's going to get traded. I think he's 17 games away from like 1,500 games of Flyer or something like that. It's something ridiculous like that. He's played a lot of games with the Flyers. I don't know what the exact number was. Maybe 1,500 might be a little high, but I don't freaking know, man. Yeah, so apparently the main team that is kicking tires on him, or one of the teams that is kicking tires on him, and one of the teams that the Flyers have been scouting, is the Colorado Avalanche. I swear to God, if the Avs get Claude Giroux, it's game over. The Avalanche currently have, so just for context, the Avs currently have $282,000 in cap space. So,
do what you will. One final thing, there's a stark difference between the Avs and the Edmonton Oilers. If the Avs add anything, that's a smash, because I don't know how they're going to fit it, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but they'll find a way to do it, and they're going to be even crazier than they already are. So that'll be a smash, whatever they do. The Oilers, if they just fix the goalie, that'll be a smash. Just fix that one thing, bro.
Yeah, I mean,
and then one final clarification. You said 1,500 games is what Giroux played. He actually has only played 988 games in Flyers history.
It's a thousand. Yeah. I can't remember exactly what the number was. I knew something significant because I was reading on Twitter today. But yes,
I think he'll hit 1,000 games in Flyers, and then
he got that. Yeah, he has that plus 50 multiplier. So he's Man, I look at this Avs roster, like, oh my God. Like, the thing is,
do your outro soon. I got to cut.
Okay, so quick, one last thing on the Avalanche. Kalen McCarr is obviously really great, but looking at their defense right now, Eric Johnson's pretty good. That's a solid top four. I take it back. I'm not going to finish my take. That was going to be a really bad take. Anyways.
Oh no! Wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the defense corps is a little bit overrated, but after looking at it again, I take that back. I looked at it. I took it back. I took a long look at it. I was like, hold on. Okay. And
that belongs in the pile of horrible takes alongside the Connor McDavid is washed.
Well, hold on. I did not finish it. I continued my analysis and I stopped it.
You thought about it. Yeah.
Because what I completely forgot is Bowen Byram's hurt. He hasn't played in like 2 months.
He'll be back now.
I think at some, I don't know. Apparently he has a concussion or some sort of head injury. And I guess he has a history of head injuries. Anyways. So, we are currently out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Our TikTok page is up and running. Our first upload went up earlier today at like 5:30 or so, or around the time we started recording this. Instagram page is up and going. So be sure to check those out. Be sure to check out all of our social, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Be sure to follow all of our streaming platforms, just Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. And that being said, peace, and we'll see you next time on Tuesday. Let's go.